We do record our interviews, and they are on our website at krfy.org after the show later in the day. So if you do miss part of this interview and you would like to hear all of it, you can go to our website.
Awesome.
Also, we have a second interview after the I get a chance here to speak with Lisa from the school district. Chris Bessler was able to talk with District 1 legislator Mark Sauter about the recently completed 2023 legislative session that was down in Boise. And so that's a good thing to get a recap of that. So let's get to it, Lisa.
All right.
As I said, the Dyslexia Roadshow really is an overview of the district and how they address the needs of our students, as well as we'll hear about the Idaho bill. So why don't you tell us about the background of dyslexia and what you do in the school district first?
Sure. I'm an instructional coach, and my essential duties for the district, I help to bring in new curriculum. We do curriculum adoptions, train teachers, implement new programs, help to coordinate curriculum and resources for teachers, do research and bring in new resources. This is just a great position to help support teachers so that they can support our students.
Is the field of support for students with dyslexia always changing and growing? Are they finding out new ways to support the students and help them?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. So there's been, we call it the science of reading, and the research that is out there is about 50 years old. So in terms of new research, we're up to date. We're following the research patterns. It's always been there, but finding ways to bring it into our instructional practice is where we're really focusing.
Okay, well, maybe we'll get a chance to really hear what that is.
Sure.
But why don't you tell us what dyslexia is and how it affects learning for children?
Sure. So dyslexia at the word level, right? Dys is Greek for difficulty, and lexia is difficult, or Greek for words and language. So dyslexia is difficulty with words and language. Our State Department released House Bill 731 that actually defines dyslexia, and they define it as a specific learning challenge that is neurological in origin, which means it's based in the brain, and that it's characterized by difficulties with accurate word reading, fluent word reading, sometimes both, and then also poor spelling, right? And it typically results in a deficit in what is called phonological component of the brain. That's the part of the brain that is able to hear and recognize sounds of individual words, and then the ability to kind of manipulate and move those sounds around. Dyslexia is difficulty with words. So how does it affect learning? This is an interesting question because students, of course, that experience dyslexia have difficulty with fluent and accurate word recognition. So it's going to be difficult for them to decode words on a page. They're going to have difficulty sometimes with the rate that they're reading. Sometimes we think that we need to read really fast, but that's not really the goal of reading. We want to read at a rate that's equivalent to the rate that we speak. And what that does is it supports comprehension. And what we know is that if you read slow, and I'll give you kind of an awkward example, if I talk slowly, it actually makes it more difficult to understand what I'm saying. And then if I talk really, really, really fast, it makes it more difficult to understand. And so students that experience dyslexia have difficulty with rate of reading, and also with the accuracy that they're decoding those words. And then also with encoding or spelling that can crop up in their writing. But in terms of learning, though, it's interesting. I have two sons that experience dyslexia, and so I get to experience our dinner conversations, right? And they're able to learn, right? They're able to take in information and share information with others. But when it involves words, it's difficult. And so sometimes when you're in a classroom and you're learning and it does involve words, your comprehension can go down. You can maybe feel a little frustrated or have some anxiety. Dyslexia also shows up with other deficits, sometimes ADHD, difficulty with speech and articulation. And so we call those comorbidities. They show up together. And sometimes in that combination, that could just make learning when it involves words just really difficult for kids.
One thing when you're talking, I'm wondering, is it the eye seeing the word on paper,
yeah,
or is it hearing the word? If, so say the, I don't know what the word would be, but yeah, say phone.
Yeah.
P-H-O-N-E.
Yeah.
That might be a strange word to see on paper.
Right.
But if you say the word, is it still a comprehension challenge for that child,
yeah,
to go, oh, phone?
Yeah, that's a really great, great question. And it's actually a really common misconception. And as a parent, really early on when we were, you know, going through the process of diagnosing our oldest son with dyslexia, we thought, is he just seeing words upside down and backwards? What does it look like for him? And we thought, well, let's start with vision. So we had his vision, you know, tested. And dyslexia is not a vision issue. It's a neurological in origin. It's a brain processing. So I'll give you an example. My son Ryan, in part of our dyslexia roadshow, I show a video of him and I ask him to say the word M&M, just like the candies M&M. And he says NNN. Because when he hears that word, the sounds that he hears are processed differently in his phonological processor, and then they come out the way that he's hearing. And so I always share with teachers, you know, so let's take a student like Ryan with a difficulty saying M&M. And I always relate it to a hand. So picture your hand and you have no fingers on your hand. You have a fingerless hand. If I send you to shoe tying class, right, without fingers or without the ability to do this, is more shoe tying class going to make you a better shoe tier? No.
And that would be impossible.
Yeah. And what if I say to you, because sometimes you think, well, are you just not motivated to read? And so what if I say to you, well, I will pay you $100 if you tie your shoes. You still lack the ability. And so with Ryan, with that phonological deficit, more practice saying M&M is not going to help him. Motivating him is not going to help him. And so what we're finding is that we need to provide explicit instruction in the area of phonological awareness. We need to teach him to take a word like cat and identify each individual sound. K, a, t. What's the last sound? T. What if we replace that last sound with an m instead of a t? What does the word become? So taking those individual sounds and then manipulating them is really, really difficult. It's kind of like a dyslexic's Achilles heel. And so that's where we drive our instruction first. We found out through David Kilpatrick's research that that is one of the most important foundational reading skills. And in my Ryan's case, he got all the way through up into high school. And we had to go back and remediate that really critical skill.
Well, let's go back to that whole thought. So first of all, how do you identify a child who is experiencing dyslexia? Mm-hmm. And is it better to find out early so that you can start putting in place some of the techniques that you might be using in the classroom and at home? Or tell us about that. How,
sure,
do you identify it and what's, and yeah.
Yeah. So first of all, early identification is absolutely critical. The earlier that we can help students, it will be life-changing. It will change the trajectory of their entire educational path. It also will give them the confidence that really is the secret sauce to learning, in my opinion. But how do you identify a student that's struggling with dyslexia? First of all, going back to, they're going to struggle with fluent and accurate word recognition and coding. But in contrast to that, a lot of dyslexic learners, in contrast to that weakness, right, they have some significant strengths like vocabulary, for example, or they're very creative. They're big picture thinkers. They are very social. They're very intuitive. A lot of these students have really great spatial reasoning skills. They're good with Legos, for example, or engineering. They love science. When it comes to that hands-on learning, they're able to engage fully in the learning experience. But when it involves words, it's much more difficult. So a lot of times the contrast is how we also identify students with dyslexia. There's a couple other, you know, red flags, we call them, just indicators. That phonological component that I mentioned earlier is a big indicator. Dyslexia is also genetic. And so if you have a parent that also experiences dyslexia, you know, when parents say, I have dyslexia, then it's, you have a 50-50 chance of also having dyslexia. Yeah. Go ahead.
So early, finding out early, but so who finds out? Is it the teacher, the parents, or do you do testing?
Yeah, that's a great question. A combination of all of those. Definitely the teacher. The state of Idaho has an assessment for K-2 teachers and students in classes that's called the IRI, and they test students regularly their progression of reading skills. Our teachers are amazing at using formative assessments in the classroom, identifying students that are really struggling, and then changing their instruction to adapt and help meet those needs. They're great with, you know, bringing parents in on where their students are struggling, how to support that at home. Oftentimes, you know, parents are children's first teacher, and so they know when their kiddo is experiencing difficulty with reading, especially in those primary grades, and so their feedback is also very important.
And so then what happens if the teacher sees something in a child? Mm-hmm. Is there an expert? Do we have technical people that can come in and do further assessing?
Yes. So we have what we call a lit cadre. This is the official name, but it's a group of expert teachers. You can think of them as reading interventionists. And what they're trained to do is administer what we call diagnostic assessments. So teachers, they're making observations and collecting data in the classroom environment about reading progress. And then if a student's really struggling, they reach out to our lit cadre and they say, hey, the student is really struggling. We dive into those IRI reports and we kind of look at the learning profile, the reading profile, and then we make some kind of estimates about, okay, I think that the student might be struggling in phonological awareness and some decoding. We'll do some diagnostic assessments. We have an assessment called the PAST assessment by David Kilpatrick that helps us drive into specific pieces of phonological processing. A core phonics screener gives a great assessment on which phonic skills have been mastered, which phonic skills are still yet to be learned. And then we can use those assessments to draw up a little bit of a learning plan to help pinpoint and target those deficit areas.
Just while you're talking, I'm wondering if there's a range to dyslexia.
Yes.
Like a child might be moderately or mildly or extreme.
Yes, I'm so glad you brought that up. Absolutely. So I'll use my own sons as an example. My Ryan, there is a range. He is profoundly dyslexic. So that's about as dyslexic as you can be. And then my Jackson, he has moderate dyslexia and there's mild dyslexia. And so you're absolutely right. There's a range. There's a spectrum.
Okay, so I just want to remind our listeners, this is The Morning Show. This is 88.5 KRFY. And I'm here speaking with Lisa McElroy. She is the instructional coach at the Lake Ponderay School District, focusing on the Dyslexia Roadshow. It's how the school district approaches and helps students in our district. And we're talking about that. So, again, if you don't get to hear the whole interview, you can go to our website, krfy.org. All right, Lisa, continuing on, I'm just taking notes as we go. Do students ever slip through the cracks and then hit a roadblock somewhere down the line and have problems that they, you know, and then you go, wait a minute, let's go back and reassess what's going on with this student?
Great question. Our goal is to eliminate the possibility that students are slipping through the cracks. That is our number one mission with this dyslexia legislation. In fact, the dyslexia legislation itself was kind of a grassroots movement from Decode Dyslexia, and it originated with parents. And those parents, I'm one of them, we had our own children were those that slipped through the cracks, right? And so we are, you know, from a different state. And so what happened in my personal experience was we got to the point where my son was in high school and still struggling to learn to read. And so, you know, we sought outside evaluations and just learned that he had this profound dyslexia and that we needed to go all the way back to that phonological component, that critical foundational reading skill, and basically just start over. Just completely start over. So does it happen that students slip through the cracks? It does. Our students get really good at blending in, right? And asking for, hey, can you read this to me really quick? Or using some of those assistive technology pieces that kind of do the reading for them. And then it makes them a little bit more difficult to find. And so this legislation helps provide the requirement that we're going to screen every student with the goal of not having a single one slip through the cracks.
It's really a large picture. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't indicate, I'm getting from you, a level of intelligence. It's
right.
Really neurological.
It really is, yeah.
And so, you know, I think about the emotional component of a child struggling and nobody knows why.
Right.
And then when you find out why and start the support program, mm-hmm. it can really change the dynamics of not just that child's interaction in the world, but also the family.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, part of the goal of our roadshow, we've gone to all of the elementary schools, secondary will be coming next, and we've presented to some community organizations as well. But the goal of the Dyslexia Roadshow is to share what dyslexia is, to bring awareness, right, through the legislation, but also through, thankfully, Ryan, my oldest, is, you know, gave permission to use his example. He's like, I want to help as many people as I can. And so we use videos of him reading as an almost adult. You know, what does it look like when a high school student is struggling to read still? And, you know, 6 months later, after appropriate instruction, oh my goodness, what does it look like when you changed his entire life? You know, how does that translate into what he's able to access as an adult? And we think about navigating an airport, you know, filling out an application for a job, things that, you know, we kind of take for granted. Things like participating in karaoke. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine just never getting to have the fun of karaoke because you just struggle to read the words on the screen?
Sure.
You know, reading a prescription or, you know, in Ryan's case, he would always order the same thing when we would go out to a Mexican restaurant, always a chimichanga because he never had to read the menu then. So when you learn to read, it provides a door to the entire world. And so he was good enough to share those videos. And at the very end of that roadshow, his question we asked him was, what do you want every teacher to know? As a student that's gone through the whole education system, at the very end, struggling with dyslexia, a profound case, right? What do you want teachers to know? And in his own words, he says, I just want them to know that I'm not dumb. I just struggle when it involves words, right? And so when you talk about intelligence, students that experience dyslexia are wildly intelligent, creative. Oh my goodness. I was at the Quilting Guild last night and I got to see Krista Moyer speak about her incredible quilts. And she shared her story of being, you know, a dyslexic learner and just what she's able to do with her quilting outside of that struggle with words. It's just remarkable. So
it's quite amazing. I'm really glad that, you know, the Idaho passed House Bill 731 and that our school district has the Dyslexia Roadshow and that you're on board and that the focus is on these students to make sure they don't slip through the cracks. What's the number of kids in this our school district that would qualify for the program?
Sure. So nationally, one in five are dyslexic, so about 20%. And I was just looking at our most recent IRI data, and we're sitting right around 15%, and we still have some, you know, some of the year to go. And so we're under what would be considered the research, you know, norm in terms of students experiencing dyslexia. So we're so proud. Our teachers, we have a program at our elementary schools, ECRI is what it's called, Enhanced Core Reading Instruction. Every one of our students is already receiving the systematic, explicit, multisensory instruction that our legislation requires. We're already doing it. which is incredible. Our teachers and administrators have already brought into our district for years what we know to be what's best for students that struggle with reading.
Wow, that's great. That's really good news. And how does, well, there's a lot of questions here we could get to, but I kind of want to wrap it up a little bit. There's a lot of information. Is there resources for parents to go to if they have questions? Are there sites or whatever?
Absolutely.
Or also contacting the school district?
Yeah. No, one of my favorite resources actually has been put out by our own state. In December, we released a dyslexia handbook. So the State Department of Education has really provided some incredible resources for both parents and teachers. So I would say first, go to the dyslexia handbook if you want to dive in deeper. Mm-hmm. The Science of Reading through Really Great Reading, the International Institute of Dyslexia, there are some tremendous resources for both teachers and parents. And also, if you are, you know, thinking that your student is struggling with dyslexia, please feel free to reach out to your child's teacher or me. We would be happy to dive in and help out.
Sure. What it makes me think when we're talking about it and thinking about it is that a student with dyslexia just does things different.
That's right.
But there is support to help them mainstream in a little bit more. Mm-hmm. It's not an illness so much.
Right.
It's a condition that just needs a different approach.
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head.
Well, Lisa, I think we should have you back in as things move on here. But that was a nice overview, at least, and for us and our listeners to know that the school district is on top of this.
Yes, yes. And thank you so much.
And that 20% is a normal. We're at 15%. And all those students matter. Every single one of them.
Absolutely. Every single one.
Yeah, and thanks for sharing your story
about your own son. Yeah,
too.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, that was Lisa McElroy and instructional coach at Lake Ponderay School District. We're talking about Dyslexia Roadshow. And if you would like to hear this interview, which I think is very interesting, you can go to our website, krfy.org, later on in the day and listen to that. We're going to move on to